When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Manchester United Weekly Podcast with your hosts, Harry Robinson and Jack Tate. Thank you for joining us as always as we discuss a 2-1 defeat to Valencia in the UEFA Champions League and look ahead to Sunday's massive fixture against Liverpool. To help us preview that game, Liverpool fan Ollie Emerson joins us for a few minutes to give the Scousers' view of things ahead of that game on Sunday. On this episode, as always, we have our extensive youth roundup as a very young under-19 side beat Valencia in the UEFA Youth League, including a 14-year-old who comes off the bench. So all of that in Series 4, Episode 17. Keep listening.
Marcus Rashford, right at the end! Oh, yes!
Now, Jack, a pretty woeful game against Valencia, which had zero entertainment, a lot of depressing moments and a lack of creativity, effort and pretty much anything. And it was the whole 90 minutes apart from that one moment, which was a great goal, which Rashford eventually finished off, the whole thing was boring and depressing.
I don't know about you, I found the Phil Jones own goal pretty entertaining. No, you're right, it was another terrible performance, and coming off the back of such a positive performance against Fulham, it was so disappointing to see that we just kind of reverted back to all of the issues that we've had for most of the season. Obviously a much changed team, but it was still a very strong side that came out, and we just had nothing going forward. We looked like we had no ideas. Valencia were just completely dominant in the first half. And even after we went 2-0 down, we had a lot of the ball. We weren't really creating any massive chances. Most of the chances that we did create were just pot shots from 30, 40 yards out. And there were so many times where Pogba or Pereira would pick up the ball sort of 30, 35 yards from goal, and there'd be no one in front of them because Rashford would have dropped deep during the attack to try and pick up the ball. The fullbacks weren't pushing on enough. And there was one point where Pereira picks up the ball. There's no one in front of him and he has no other option, so he just shoots. And it was actually a great effort and the keeper made a great save. But it's just ridiculous that when we're pushing for goals at the end of a game, and Pereira can be our most advanced player at 30 yards from goal.
Yeah, it was a game in which Mourinho started a team full to the brim with players who lacked confidence, and that kind of defeat to a side who are 15th in La Liga certainly won't have helped. And the problem is, it gives him the opportunity, one that he has taken in the aftermath of that game, to blame those players and say, well, you didn't play well enough. And I understand that because these are clearly players who have been given an opportunity to win back the manager's trust. Andreas Pereira, Paul Pogba, Fred, and a few others, Phil Jones. And yet, they haven't taken that opportunity. Now, as with almost everything we've said arguing about Mourinho or the players, it's a joint effort in terms of who to blame. Mourinho's tactics clearly didn't let them produce the display they wanted to. He clearly can't motivate them well enough. I mean, to be honest, it didn't look like they cared about getting back into the manager's good books. And that's when, you know, things have started to get slightly worrying. And that was kind of the problem. It was a pathetic attempt at kind of putting pressure on a rubbish team.
Yeah, there was nothing in the performance that was really positive in any way. I don't think anyone played particularly well at any point during the game. And it almost seemed like it was a lose-lose for a lot of the players that were out there, because, like you said, a lot of them were players who needed to prove something to Mourinho and needed to gain some confidence. And it was almost like Mourinho threw them in the Champions League against the Valencia side in a relatively meaningless game, or what we thought would be a meaningless game anyway. As it turned out, it wasn't, because of the Juve result. And it was just like, it seemed as if Mourinho was just kind of throwing them in there to say, well, here you go, I'm giving you an opportunity. But if they'd have played well, it would be, well, it was a meaningless game against a side that are 15th in La Liga.
Yeah.
Oh, the way it is now, it's like, well, even when I give you a chance, you don't take it. And so then I'm just not going to play you again. And I'd be very surprised if we see the likes of Fred, Pereira, get anywhere near the starting 11 for the next few weeks. And as a result of this game.
Well, I just have problems with the team that was put out. I was happy to see Andreas Pereira get a chance. I think he won't get another chance, possibly until he leaves United or until the FA Cup third round comes around in the start of January. But we had Marcus Rojo, who is a centre-back, playing at left-back. Ahead of him was creative central midfielder Andreas Pereira. And on the right side of the pitch, you had ageing failed winger Antonio Valencia. And ahead of him was ageing creative central player Juan Mata. And so it was no surprise that there was no pace to United's game. And adding to that, you had Romelu Lukaku, who has himself admitted that he's far too big, literally in terms of his physique. And people are wondering why there isn't any pace to the game. You've got Pogba, Fellaini, Fred in midfield. Does that have much pace in it? Fred a tiny bit, Pogba a tiny bit, Fellaini certainly not. It was a team that was destined to play at the pace with which United did play at until Marcus Rashford and Jesse Lingard came on. I don't see how the players can be blamed for that necessarily.
Yeah, it's almost like Mourinho put out a team that had the slowest 11 that we could find and then wanted them to play as if we had the fastest 11 that we can find. It just doesn't make any sense. And again, it just goes back to this lack of sort of tactical planning on the part of Mourinho in terms of the way that we go forward. Because sure, you can play with a relatively slow team. Like, of course you can. You can win games like that. But you can't play the same way that you would have done if we had a front three of Martial, Rashford and Lingard. And you saw when Rashford and Lingard came on that we didn't change the way that we play, but it actually worked because we'd been playing in a style that would have suited them from minute one, when we didn't have a team on the pitch that could play like that. When you're playing with the likes of Mata, Pereira, Fred, Pogba, and there isn't much pace, you do have to play more possession-based football. You do have to keep things in front of the defence a bit more, because we had no one who could run in behind and really challenge Valencia.
It was such a familiar narrative to a game where United start, to be fair, in the first 2-3 minutes, and yes, it's only the first 2-3 minutes, but we've seen that so many times where United start okay and it looks like, oh, we're going to play this game with some kind of intensity, and it all changed after 3 minutes and Valencia took the lead within, I think, 16 minutes. Mourinho's United side have a tendency to completely fail to play at all up until the 85th minute mark before snatching a draw or win. And I think this was a game in which we've seen it doesn't work every time. We fell short on Wednesday against Valencia. We will fall short again against other teams. And it was kind of, yes, Lingard and Rashford combined well for the goal. They combined well again. Pogba and Mata started playing quicker. Everyone started playing quicker. Valencia finally decided to go past the halfway line for the first time in the game. And it's like, well, I understand why a goal boosts your confidence like that, but too little too late, and that's so often been the case. And so far this season, we've actually managed to scrape draws and wins when we've been in that situation. We didn't do so on Wednesday.
No, we didn't deserve to. Like I said, we didn't create, really, apart from the goal, a single opportunity in the second half that you could say we definitely should have scored that. The only chance that we had in the entire game where we 100% should have scored was the Pogba miss from the corner in the first half. But having gone 1-0 down, 2-0 down, did they look like there was any urgency from the team? No, not until the 85th minute. Did we ever look like we were going to be sort of bombarding the Valencia goal with constant chances created? No. At no point in the game did I think that we were going to come back. And that's despite us being a team that has come back from these kind of deficits so many times during the season. We just did not look like we were creating any kind of chances. Everyone was getting frustrated. You could see that the entire team was almost just kind of shying away from playing too much because they didn't want to go further down. But at that point, what do you have to lose? And it just makes this result and this performance all the worse because Juventus lost at Young Boys. And so we had the chance to finish top of our group. We're now probably going to end up with a very tough round of 16 draw. And honestly, it doesn't... I don't think we deserve to finish top of our group. But it's just ridiculous that, given how important this match ended up being, there was still no urgency from the players. There was still no creativity going forward. And we really created one chance in the second half that we scored. And even after we scored that goal, there was still about 5-6 minutes left, and Valencia really just controlled the game.
Yeah, now we're keeping this episode short, so we will move on in a second. Just a couple of... One funny statistic in that Phil Jones's own goal was the first time a United player had had a shot on target in the whole game at the 47th minute mark. Obviously, it was in the wrong goal, which sums up the game. And summing up the season is the fact that Manchester United have now been 2-0 down at some point in 30% of their games this season, which is astonishing. 1-0 you might be able to understand in a team that has little confidence, but being 2-0 down kind of shows. You think about those games against Brighton, against Spurs, where we conceded 2 on the bounce quickly, Newcastle as well. It shows how little confidence and how badly this team is playing. Any final words on what was a very drab game? And it's such a shame, because Fulham game was a nice momentum boost and a confidence booster, and we could have gone in. The worst way to go into a Liverpool game is off the back of like not a just a nothing game. Nothing at all was there.
The only thing left for me is the best stat that I saw last night was Phil Jones is the first United player to score an own goal in the Champions League since
Phil Jones.
Yep.
Nice, Phil Jones. That is, yeah. He's something.
I saw a great montage as well of all of his own goals over the last like 4 or 5 years, and there's some good ones in there.
There's some great finishes in there.
Yeah,
he's a striker born and bred. Anyway, we must move on, because the focus of this episode is more on the Liverpool game on Sunday. But very quickly, a youth update. Nishan Burkhart and Aiden Barlow both scored in the first half as United came from behind to beat Valencia in the UEFA Youth League. They were already through, just like the first team, but it was an impressive win with a very, very young side that Nicky Butt put out there. United under-19s won 5 out of their 6 UEFA Youth League games, drew the other one, including a 6-2 win against Young Boys, and in the 2-1 win against Valencia on Wednesday afternoon, Shola Shortire became the youngest player in UEFA Youth League history at 14 years and 314 days. He's also the youngest player to represent United at under-19 level ever in European competition, which is a massive thing. And it's great that United managed to qualify before their final game, and they gave the opportunities to players like Lukasz Beja, Polish young centre-back, Harvey Neville, Phil Neville's son, Shola Shortire, Will Fish was also brought into the squad from the under-16s. It was just a nice way to be able to end the group stage in a very positive manner, unlike the first team. Okay, we're joined by Liverpool fan Ollie Emerson, a old friend of the podcast. I think he came on a year or two ago, back when United and Liverpool were slightly closer in the league. I think it's now the biggest points difference between United and Liverpool since 1990, which is utterly depressing. But the game on Sunday, for some reason, a lot of people are still predicting a close game. How do you see things panning out, Ollie?
Yeah, I think it's definitely interesting. It's got to be the furthest the two teams have been away in terms of Liverpool being ahead of United. It wouldn't surprise me if one of the Ferguson teams had got, you know, within about 30 points ahead of Liverpool at some point. I think it's one of those where, you know, Jose Mourinho as your manager, you've always got the potential to sort of pull a result out of your arse. It seems like, you know, you saw that impressive sort of win against Juventus earlier in the season in Turin, where, you know, you sort of got your arses handed to you for upwards of an hour, and then, you know, Juan Mata pops up, you get an equaliser, Mata pops up with that blinding free kick, and suddenly, you know, you're walking away with a really impressive result in sort of one of the top three most difficult grounds to go to in European football. Obviously, you had a good performance against Chelsea at the Bridge, so I think you're going to, from what I assume, you're going to set up fairly defensively, try and hit us on the counter like you did Anfield last season with sort of the likes of Rashford, maybe Martial. Interested to see if Lukaku plays after being handed a reprieve against Valencia and then turning in what the Twitter feeds tell me was a fairly disappointing performance.
As always. But I can see it.
I don't think we're going to blow you away. I think we're really, as normal against United, both teams are going to have to work really hard for a result, but maybe in different ways. In terms of United, you're going to have to do what you've done against us in the past couple of years. You're going to have to defend really well and see what you can do sort of on the counter set pieces. And we're going to have to find a way to A, break down your defence, and B, do something we've really struggled to do, I think, since we played you in the Europa League in 15-16, which is, you know, get some balls flying into David De Gea's net.
I want to know, what do you think Liverpool's weaknesses are?
I think defensively we are stronger than we've been in my sort of football knowledge lifetime. So say, you know, I'm 19 now, so I've been sort of conscious of what's a good defence, a bad defence, and so for maybe a decade or so more. And so that sort of constitutes the end of the Benitez period when sort of Pepe Reina forgot what a near post was. And then, you know, from then we've just not been solid defensively really since, apart from maybe a season under Dalglish when Steve Clark was the assistant. However, despite this, the fact we've probably got one of the best defences in the world at the moment, we have got injuries. Get on to you with what team I think we're going to play soon, but it is almost certainly going to be Virgil van Dijk at centre-back, but with Dejan Lovren, who is everyone of footballing community wide knows is prone to a comedic. He came on the other night against Napoli and tugged Milik's shirt as the ball came into the area for that Alisson save, and then obviously lost Milik, which produced a very good save from Alisson. He'd been on the pitch for 3 minutes. His only other contribution that I can remember in that 3 minutes was being past the ball and slicing it directly out of play for a Napoli throw. So it doesn't film with confidence.
Although I can. You've got can take your. Yeah, I was about to say. I take your Dejan Lovren and I raise you a Phil Jones.
And you might just beat me there, but still. So defensively, that Lovren making an individual error is probably our biggest weakness. I think we might have Milner at right back. Obviously, Nathaniel Klein was injured at the start of last season, lost his place to sort of the young combination of Joe Gomez and Trent Alexander-Arnold, and has played once this season. We don't really know what's gone on there. It's sort of been, there's been some strange messages from the club in terms of he had a back injury and he was okay, and now he's got an injury that Klopp sort of described as difficult to explain, but doesn't really make much attempt at explaining. So he, I highly doubt he'll feature. Joe Gomez has, of course, got that sort of broken leg from the Burnley game, so he's going to be out till mid-January, so he can't play right back. And then Alexander-Arnold went off injured against Napoli. So we've got, and with Matip injured against Napoli as well, he broke his collarbone. We've got a bit of defensive crisis at the moment, injury-wise. So we're going to have Lovren. So our sort of right-back options, assuming Alexander-Arnold's out, constitutes Rafa Camacho, who's a youth player who's impressed in pre-season, but he hasn't played a senior minute this season, so I'd be extremely surprised if he's thrust in for a game at home to United. So it's probably going to be Milner or Fabinho at right back. I think it'll be Milner. So that sort of gap with Lovren at right centre back and Milner at right back, with sort of, you know, Rashford. So if you say you played Rashford up front and Martial on the left, want those two sort of, you know, peeling off to the left and using their pace and trickery to sort of interlap and jink around those two, could sort of be somewhere I think United can get at.
Yeah, that kind of leads us on nicely to. I won't ask you what you think United's weaknesses are because there's far too many and we'll be here for hours.
Football.
Yeah, attacking, defending, passing and shooting,
sort of,
pretty much.
What was that famous David Moyes quote from when he was in Tottenham? We need to get better at attacking, defending and passing the ball,
yeah,
or something like that.
It was a kind of second in his most ridiculous quotes after we aspire to be like Manchester City. But I also would ask you about Liverpool's strengths because there's also quite a lot of them. But we know Liverpool's weaknesses is probably going to be in defence. United also defensively poor. Where do you see United's strengths as being if we're going to get anything out of this game?
I think it will be sort of the individual brilliance of your players. From what I've seen this season, you've been poor defensively throughout. De Gea seems to have dropped off his usual level, which I fully expect him to return to on Sunday. But Rashford's had some good moments mixed with some sort of inconsistencies. Martial has been on this brilliant run where he's scored a lot of goals and sort of stuck a finger up to Mourinho in terms of how he's used him and sort of shown that, you know, if you play me, I will get goals regardless of, you know, how the attack's functioning around me. Pogba, obviously, you know, disappointing again this season, I think, seems to be the general consensus. But again, he's a quality player at the end of the day, and he is able to turn it on in big games and produce brilliant moments. Obviously, you see sort of the City away game last season when you were 2-0 down, they were sort of cruising towards the title, came back and won 3-2, and he was a pivotal part in that. So it doesn't so much scare me as anything United can do as a team, apart from maybe a good sort of 10 minutes of attacking football seems to be able to produce. But I do think that it's those individual talents, Martial, Rashford, Pogba, that can produce a moment of genius, combined with the sort of potential you have got despite defensive calamities this season. Mourinho's team's always got potential to pull a clean sheet out of a hat. So sort of that sort of potential for a solid defensive display combined with some sloppy Liverpool finishing and then United's individual brilliance coming through is probably the way I can see you best getting a positive result on Sunday.
Yeah. Last question, apart from your prediction, which I'll ask you in a second. Who do you fear more? Just give me a name out of Rashford, Martial and Lukaku.
Rashford, based on what he's done, what he did to us at Anfield last season, it was fantastic.
All right, fair enough. It's always just interesting to get opposition fans.
I think Martial's probably the most informed, consistent player there, and Pogba's probably the best. But in terms of who gives me nightmares, especially the fact that if Pogba and Martial score, fair enough, like they're fantastic players. But if Rashford scores,
Max Born and Red,
star boys come out of a youth academy. It's just
it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's definitely he's had his quota for the career.
No, he can go and match Diego Forlan in kind of legendary status at Anfield.
I think Rooney only scored one winner at Anfield, and that was in 2000.
Van Gaal 2015.
That was the most horrible of Van Gaal wins.
Yeah, that was brilliant. The scrappiest kind of goal possible in front of the away end.
Yeah, so he had his one. So I think hopefully Rashford's just had his one early, from my point of view.
Yeah, maybe Juan Mata will pop up again with a lovely scissor kick. But what are you predicting the score to be?
I'm predicting Liverpool win. I think we're going to win 2-1. I think you will get a goal out of a Lovren or Milner error or something in sort of individual brilliance. But Liverpool will likely start Naby Keita. He didn't start against Napoli. It's fresh. And I think what we've missed in previous years against United is someone in midfield that can drive forward, you know, commit men, beat men, and sort of give Liverpool those sort of 4-on-4s, 4-on-5s, you know, 4-on-3s that they thrive on in and around the area. Last season we didn't have that, and Ashley Young and about six of the United players managed to comprehensively mark Salah out of the game. We've got different options with that this season. Salah can go up front and we can pull someone like Shaqiri off to the right to move Firmino, swap Mane around. And I just think that the improved attacking options we've got this season, combined with that man Keita that can beat men from midfield and drive us forward, should give us the edge, hopefully, for a finally getting a long-awaited league win over you lot.
When was the last time you beat us in the league?
I honestly, genuinely think it was 13-14, because...
Was it the 3-0 when Gerrard scored twice?
We beat you in the Europa League, obviously 2-1. We didn't beat you in 14-15 because we had that horrible game at... I think it was Old Trafford. Was it Old Trafford where De Gea, Raheem Sterling played to striker and should have scored about 6 goals?
Yeah.
But we missed an inconceivable amount of chances, and I think Brad Jones dived the wrong way from a shot or something and just won like 3-0, 3-1.
Yeah.
And then obviously Gerrard got sent off in the Anfield fixture.
Oh, superb game.
15-16, you got the horrible... you beat us 3-1 at Old Trafford.
Anthony Martial.
With Anthony Martial. Oh, we've had some horrible results against you. They had the Martial thing, and then the return fixture was the horrible shithoused 1-0 with Rooney.
Yeah.
16-17, De Gea pulled a performance out of his arse at Anfield, and then we drew 1-1, I believe, at Old Trafford. I think Milner scored a penalty, and then was it Ibrahimovic got the equaliser?
Probably, yeah. Usually him.
Random cross. And then last season again, you know...
Man United. Yeah, no, we beat you at... I think Rashford scored twice at Old Trafford, didn't he?
Oh, I thought it was Rashford at Anfield last season.
No, we drew 0-0 at Anfield, I think. Well, Anfield, almost certainly, because that's generally the scoreline.
That's the standard Anfield result there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we've got enough this season. I think Salah's going to score. I think Firmino's going to score. And we're going to win 2-1.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that much. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on. Where can we find you on Twitter, and feel free to plug any kind of work you fancy?
Yeah, so Twitter is @Oliver_Emerson. I'm mainly doing sort of pieces for Anfield Index at the moment, which is a Liverpool fan site. So, you know, go and have a look at my stuff there. Obviously, United fans, but I'm going to have something out ahead of the game. on why I think Liverpool are better equipped to beat Man United than they have been in previous years in the league, which they sort of drawing on what I've just mentioned there with the navigators, different attacking options. So if you want to make your bums twitch a bit more before the game, check that out on my Twitter. It'll be up on probably Friday.
I will read that purely out of kindness to you, but I have no desire to. I don't want to read anything in preparation to the game or after. I just want to forget that it's happening.
It'll make it sweeter if you pull off the unthinkable again, or even get a 0-0, which I'm sure you'd probably take at the moment.
Take anything, yeah. Any kind of points. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on.
Absolute pleasure. Cheers for having me.
Now, Jack, Liverpool on Sunday at 4 p.m. We've heard from Ollie Emerson, who is predicting a 2-1 win for Liverpool. I'm also predicting a 2-1 win for Liverpool. And we've heard that Ollie is scared of Marcus Rashford. Where, if United are to get anything out of this game, where do you think it will come from?
I think it will come from us playing a front three of Rashford, Lingard and Martial. I think the way to win this game, I've pretty much accepted that we're going to play defensively. We're going to try and hit Liverpool on the counter-attack. And I'm okay with that. I don't mind us playing on the counter-attack as long as we actually are trying to play on the counter-attack when we get the ball and it's not just us sitting back and hoping for the best. And I think the way that we can do that in the best way is to play a front three of Rashford, Lukaku and Martial. We need to have that kind of dynamic trio up top. They're very willing to track back when they need to, which I know Mourinho loves. But I think those three are both the most precise on the ball for us, more so than Lukaku is, and also will allow us to have the quickest counter-attacks. Because I don't think Liverpool's defence and midfield, especially given that they're going to have to play either Lovren or Matip alongside Van Dijk, is not that well equipped to handle the kind of fast counter-attacks that those three can produce.
I think, yeah, I would agree if all injuries are fine that we should start Rashford, Martial and Lingard. And as we said in the episode after the Fulham game, we both agree that Rashford should be playing wide and Martial centrally because Rashford hasn't got that finishing ability yet, or at least the confidence in his finishing to be netting every chance we get against Liverpool, which will probably be one or two,
yeah,
given the way we're currently playing. Now, Martial hopefully returns ready for the game at Anfield. He's a slight doubt at the moment. Both sides have quite significant injuries. We have Sanchez, Martial, Lindelof, Smalling, Shaw. I think if we had a full-strength team, I would go with something like De Gea, Dalot, Lindelof, Smalling, Shaw, Pogba, Fellaini, Herrera and Martial, Sanchez and Rashford, possibly bringing in Jesse Lingard for Rashford or Sanchez. It's very hard. You can see Mourinho's problem because A, that would be if we had all of our players, and even when we do have all of our players, everyone has performed badly at some point in the season. It's not really clear who is our best starting ever. But I think if Martial's fit, then obviously start Martial. And I just hope that Lukaku doesn't start, because if his hold-up play was as good as it was in the back end to last season, so not even the back end, kind of the February, March, April stage of last season.
Yeah.
I think if his hold-up play was as good as it was then, he would be a brilliant player to have.
Yeah, it'd be perfect, because he'd give us some time trying to get out, because I think we will be camped in our own half, yeah, for the majority of the game.
He'd be an outlet on the counter-attack, but the current form he's in, no chance. And you're much better trying to play the balls over the top to Rashford and Martial and Lingard and get onto the counter in that way against possibly Dejan Lovren, who is a weakness.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really frustrating that Lukaku's form is so bad, because he is actually the perfect striker for this game in terms of his style. It's really nice to have someone up front who can hold the ball up, give the defence and midfield some time to get out, squeeze up the pitch and just give us a breather, basically. I don't think in the current form that he's in, he's going to do that though. And if the ball's just going to be bouncing off of him every time, which it has been, there's not really any point in him being in the team. We'd be much better going with a faster, more dynamic front three, hopefully with Martial back. And, I mean, I think it's going to be a tough game either way. My only hope at the moment is, well, a couple of things. One is that despite having very good results this season, Liverpool haven't looked at their best at any point. I mean, that's kind of scary as well, because you think they've still been winning all these games despite not being at their best. But the other thing is, yeah, I think they are vulnerable at the back, especially it looks like Trent Alexander-Arnold is going to be out this weekend. Obviously, Joe Gomez is out. And so that means defensively, Liverpool are a bit stretched. We might see James Milner right back. I mean, Milner always does a good job at right back, but it just means that right side of the defence, if Matip or Lovren is there as well, could be a little bit vulnerable, and hopefully that's where Rashford will play. And I think, you know, we've talked about Rashford's end product a lot and how it isn't good enough, but he is the player I would back most to create something for himself on that left side up against probably Milner and either Lovren or Matip.
In terms of the midfield, I think that's probably a harder decision to make as a fan or as Jose Mourinho, because Pogba was fine against Valencia, but did not. It wasn't a display in which he went, yes, that's why he should be starting. It was kind of, he was no worse than the people around him. Fellaini was pretty much non-existent, but I would be fairly certain that Mourinho will start him at Anfield because it's the kind of player he wants for the kind of tactics he wants to employ at Anfield. And I think he was going to go with Nemanja Matic because he said he was resting him for the Valencia game, which means you've got Fellaini and Matic, and who's your final player? Do you go Herrera for the work rate, or do you think Mourinho might actually go with Paul Pogba and surprise people?
I would be surprised if Pogba starts at Anfield because he's been dropped for the last couple of Premier League games, and mainly because I don't think he did enough against Valencia to change Mourinho's opinion of him at the moment. That was an opportunity for Pogba to show Mourinho why he should be playing and to show him what our team misses when Pogba isn't playing. And like you said, he was fine. He wasn't the worst player on the pitch. He wasn't the best. But it wasn't enough, I don't think, to convince Mourinho that Pogba should be playing at Anfield. And I think Mourinho, like you said, I think Fellaini and Matic is pretty much bang on. I don't think that's going to change. I would probably guess that he'll go with Herrera for the work rate. And to be fair, Herrera has done okay in the last few games. He's been very good at breaking up the play in midfield, which we will need against Liverpool. I think if I was putting this team out, I'd probably go with Pogba, Herrera, and then either Fred or Matic. But none of those choices look particularly inspiring at the moment. As much as I like Fred, he's been playing very poorly. He had a bad game against Valencia last night. But by the same token, Matic has been terrible all season. So it's not a really inspiring set of options in midfield. And the other thing as well about Trent Alexander-Arnold's injury means that it's probably likely that Keita will come in and play. And I think Keita being in midfield instead of Milner for Liverpool will cause us a lot of issues because he's played very well this season. And although he's not as good defensively as Milner is, going forward he's a lot more creative. And I think that will cause us a lot of problems.
Yeah, I don't think they need their midfield to be so good defensively against us, because I don't think we'll be doing much in attack. And I think the difference between Milner and Keita in terms of breaking down what could be a solid United defence hasn't been so far this season, but sometimes Mourinho pulls it out for the big game. I think Keita will be a big kind of contributor in terms of that. He's much more mobile than Milner. And Milner is often underrated in terms of that, but he has not got the same ability to break down and pass through the lines that Keita has. So we'll see. What's your prediction?
My prediction, I'm going to go for... I want to go 2-1 as well, but I can't say 3-2-1s. You know what? I'll be even more pessimistic and I'll go 3-1 to Liverpool.
I went to... The worst bit is, in predicting 2-1, I felt I was being optimistic, which is sad. But it's Liverpool and we've got some very good results against them over the last few seasons, as I was speaking about with Ollie. They haven't beaten us in the league since Steven Gerrard got two unfair penalties at Old Trafford in the David Moyes season, and Luis Suarez and Daniel Sturridge went diving all over the shop. So we'll see. It's Liverpool. Anything can happen. But that's all we have time for on this episode of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. Thank you, as always, for listening wherever you are. If you've enjoyed it, if you've enjoyed the podcast over the last season, two seasons, three seasons, whatever, please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps massively. Or just share it on Twitter. You can find Jack on Twitter at
UTDTait, TAIT.
And you can find me at HarryRobinson64. And the podcast itself is at UTD Weekly Pod. That's POD at the end there. Any questions you have for next week's episode? You tweet that account. Thanks as always for listening. Have a great week. Enjoy the Liverpool game on Sunday. Goodbye.
Social Podcast Network.